Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning. Thank you for joining the Weekly Insight Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Andrew Doerr. And as usual, I want to start like I do every week and just remind you that what you're about to hear should not be construed as individual investment advice, but instead just as our opinions on what's going on in the market, certainly as it may reflect your individual portfolio. If you'd like to discuss that, we'd be happy to do that. You can give us a call here at the office. So with that, let's dive in. Yet another good week, frankly, for the markets as we start the new year. I really hate subscribing some sort of magical significance to the turn of a calendar year because it doesn't mean anything statistically, other than when clients ask questions like, how'd we do last year? Other than that, the date on the calendar means very, very little. In the end, all we're really concerned about is the overall results in the portfolio. But for whatever reason, the turn of last calendar year, 2022, was very significant. The market actually peaked on the very first trading day of the year and never reached those levels again. And now, in 2023, the reverse has actually happened for the first 2 weeks in the market. It's a nice change of pace, even if it doesn't actually mean anything as in terms of when it started. But there are reasons to be optimistic as we head into this new year, and I think the wage data from last week was incredibly positive. And this week, the eyes were on the CPI report. So let's take a look at that first. Now, you've heard me talk for months about the expectations game for inflation. A bad number really didn't matter if it was better than the expectations. And conversely, a good number didn't matter if it was worse than the expectations. This week's CPI report was interesting because it was perfectly in line with expectations. And frankly, because the expectations were for significant improvements on the inflation front, that was very good news. So just quickly, what was the result? Month over month, CPI actually dropped in December, down 0.1%. That was the only thing that was different than the expectation. The expectation was 0% growth. Year over year, CPI dropped from 7.1 to 6.5%. And then on core CPI, it was at 0.3% and month over month and year over year dropped from 6 to 5.7. There were no misses. And frankly, it was really good news. It was the first time that prices have actually dropped month over month in over a year. Core CPI had its lowest read since December 2021. Overall CPI had its best read since October of 2021. We are clearly on the path to improvement. And that's great news. But the real good news actually wasn't in these numbers, because in our opinion, the numbers were still significantly off base. You've heard me talk before about how inflation is calculated and the impact that housing prices have on that calculation. The shelter category makes up 30% of the overall CPI number and 40% of the core CPI number. It is the largest contributor to both calculations. And I would argue that in the data we just got for December, those shelter numbers were flat out wrong. Now, I know it seems bold for little old Andrew Doerr and Insight Wealth Group to say that the Department of Labor data team doesn't know what they're talking about. But heck, why not? I'll say it. Why? Because the latest CPI data, the Bureau of Labor Statistics had the cost of shelter rising in December by 0.8% month over month and 7.5% year over year. The problem, as we've discussed on this podcast before, is how they calculate this number. They use something for the vast majority of it called owner's equivalent rent. They call homeowners and they ask them how much they would rent their home for. The result is a proxy for the cost of shelter. The problem with owner's equivalent rent is, number one, that most owners don't know what their home would rent for, but number two, there is actual data on rent that exists and shows us what those rental prices are. Zillow is a great example of this, and many other outlets do this, but Zillow collects this data constantly and publishes it monthly. What does Zillow's data say? Zillow's data says that rents dropped by 0.25% in December. That is a 1.05% swing across something that makes up 40% of core CPI. Better yet, according to the Zillow data, rental prices actually peaked back in September and have been dropping ever since. CPI has been showing large gains in shelter every month since September. Bluntly, it's just wrong. So the question is, what does CPI look like without the inaccurate shelter data? It's actually very, very good. And I've included a chart from EPB Research in our weekly insight memo. It's linked in the show notes. I'd encourage you to go take a look at it. But what this chart shows is that if you take the shelter component out of the CPI calculation, CPI is at 2.7%. Eventually, that housing number is going to correct. When it does, CPI will fall much more rapidly than it is today. In the meantime, though, let's hope that the Fed understands where the data is wrong, because they haven't yet, and take that into account for the next meeting, which is coming up here in just a few short weeks. Now, let's move on from CPI and let's talk about earnings a little bit, because we are entering a period where the market believes, the analysts believe, we're going to see some falling earnings on a year-over-year basis. And earnings season has started for Q4 of 2022. And there is a trend that I've talked about many times in this podcast when it comes to what happens during earnings season. And the trend remains the same. Analysts enter the season very pessimistic, and companies generally overperform that very pessimistic expectation, and earnings end up being better than what folks anticipated. For Q4, the question isn't whether we're going to have a great quarter for earnings. We are not going to have one. The question instead is whether or not it will be better than the worst case scenario that analysts are already outlining. Now, we know that over the last 10 years, quarter over quarter earnings have exceeded the estimate by 6.4%. So that means if analysts were expecting 1% earnings growth, the number came in at 7.4%. Given the current estimate for earnings decline, which right now is 3.9, it was 4.2% last week. If you use that 4.2% number, a decline of 4.2%, that would actually mean that we would have positive earnings of about 2.2% for Q4. But let's take a less optimistic approach. If you look at the last two quarters, which weren't exactly fairy tales, even then, in Q2 and Q3, actual earnings exceeded the expectations by 2.5%. Which means we'd still have negative earnings for the quarter, but it certainly wouldn't be catastrophic. All of that is good news. But I think that brings up one final and very important point, which is if we have a down year for earnings or a couple down quarters for earnings, does that mean a bad year for the market? Does that mean we are poised to have another year like we saw in 2022? Well, here's the thing. History says no. As a matter of fact, there's another chart in the memo that I'd really like you to look at, but over the last 14 times that we've had negative earnings growth year over year, the market has been up 11 of those 14 times. So what is that? Why is that? Why would falling earnings mean positive performance in the market? And more importantly, how good could that performance be? Because if you look at this chart that we've included, of those 11 times that the market was positive over the next year, I think 8 or 9 of them, it was significantly positive. It was better than 10%. So why would we expect that in a falling earnings environment, market returns would look so good? It's very simple. Comes back to something we've talked about for a long time here. Being fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Why? The market is a forward-looking tool. It has already priced in the downturn in earnings. Why do you think we ended the year down 20% last year? Or nearly 20%? It's now looking not at Q4 or Q1. It's looking at Q2, Q3, Q4 of 2023. It's looking into 2024 and beyond. And what that shows us, if history is any indication, is that this could actually be a very good year for the stock market. So we'll wrap it up there. We'll see how these things pan out. We'll continue to track them every single week. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to discuss this further, I'd encourage you to give us a call here at the office at 515-273-1333, or you can always visit us on the web at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a fantastic week, and we look forward to touching base with you again next week. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, NFA. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.